Then she called for her children and gave them her blessing. She told them how her heart was warmed above measure to see them there with her. She also admonished her children to keep their garments white till such time that the post should come for them. After this, she bequeathed to the poor such few possessions as she had, and then addressed Mr. Valiant for Truth thusly.
Ah, Mr. Valiant for Truth, you have in all places shown yourself true-hearted. Be faithful unto death, and my king will give you a crown of life.
Yes, ma'am.
Watch over my children, I pray.
I shall.
When thou seest them, speak comfortably to them, and remind them that their destiny is to be companions of Christ on his throne.
Oh, I shall.
These daughters of mine have been faithful, and they shall surely see the fulfillment of all God's promises to them. Yea, they shall also carry in their little lambs to present them to the Master Shepherd.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Standfast.
Aye?
Ah, brave Mr. Standfast. I bequeath this ring to thy wife, Mariana. Send it to her by the hand of a strong man, and bid him tell her of what hath befallen she that did wear it before her. Tell her heaven will not be complete without she and her children, and that she must come quickly.
Aye.
As for thee, only be true to thy name, and I shall meet thee on the other side.
Yes, madam. Thank you.
Mr. Standfast.
Madam?
When thou dost send my mother's ring, send this as well.
What key is this?
'Tis the key of promise. With it she may destroy any of the devices of the enemy and come off more than conqueror.
'Tis stained with blood.
Because it came from the foot of his cross, who died to make all his promises sure. Send it.
I shall.
Also, give her this diary I have kept. 'Twill guide her through many a rough place.
Thank you.
Mr. Honest.
Ma'am?
Ah, Mr. Honest, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. We have been glad for thy company.
Thank you. I wish you a fair day when you set out for Mount Zion, and shall be glad if the river be low and you go over dry shod.
Come wet, come dry, I long to be gone, for I shall have time enough when I am come there to dry me out.
Yes'm.
Mr. Ready to Halt.
Ma'am?
Thy travel hitherto hath been with difficulty, but we have all learned the bitter must come before the sweet. But thy trials heretofore will only serve to make thy rest all the sweeter.
Aye, ma'am. I trow 'tis true.
But watch and be ready, for at an hour when you think not, the post may come.
I shall, ma'am. Thank you.
Mr. Despondency?
Yes, ma'am?
You would do well to be forever thankful for your deliverance from the dungeon of despair.
Oh, I am, ma'am. Indeed I am. And I am further resolved to resist the spirit of despondency that doth ever seek to settle in my bones.
See that thou do it, for to rejoice evermore is a command of our Lord. Much afraid?
I am here, ma'am.
God hath brought thee with safety through many a trying place, hath he not?
Yes, ma'am.
Therefore be ye watchful and cast away fear. Be sober and hope to the end.
I shall, ma'am.
And if thou feel tempted to fear, only pause. was to remember how he hath led thee in the past.
Yes, Mum.
Mr. Feeble Mind.
Dear Christiana.
Thou wast delivered from the mouth of Giant Slaygood, that thou mightest live in the light of the living forever, and see thy king with comfort.
Aye, God has been merciful.
But I advise thee to repent thee of thy tendency to fear and doubt of his goodness.
I shall try.
See that thou do more than try. When thou standest before the king, I would not have thee to blush for faults that could have been put away.
I shall do my best.
And he shall enable thee.
Now the 10 days passed all too slowly for Christiana and all too quickly for those who loved her company. And when the day came that Christiana must be gone, the road was full of people come to see her take her journey. And also the banks on the farther side were crowded with horses and chariots and shining ones who were come down from above to accompany her to the city gate. So she came forth and entered the river with a wave of farewell to those that followed her to the riverside. The last words that she was heard to say were, I come, Lord, to be with thee and bless thee.
Fare thee well, Christiana. Fare thee well.
Goodbye, Grandma.
So after she had crossed and been carried up by the fiery chariots, her children and friends returned to their quest. At her departure, her sons wept, for that they greatly missed the company of her who had given them life. Also, her daughters and grandchildren were dewy-eyed at the loss of her who had spent her life to bring them into this place. Now Christiana's crossing and her welcome into the city I shall describe in more detail after I tell thee of what befell the others in her company. First, there came a post to the town whose business was with Mr. Ready to Halt. So he found him and said to him,
I am come to thee from him whom thou hast loved and followed, though upon crutches, and my message is to tell thee that he expects thee to sup with him the next day after Easter. Wherefore prepare thyself for this journey. And this is the token that my words are true. Thy golden bowl is broken, and thy silver cord is snapped.
Yes, sir, I am ready.
And now adieu.
After this, Mr. Ready to Halt called for his fellow pilgrims and said,
I am sent for.
What? Already?
Aye. My golden bowl is broken. And I can feel my life spilling out. But keep in mind that God shall surely visit you also. Mr. Valiant, wilt thou make my will for me?
Certainly.
This shall not take long, for I have only my crutches and good wishes to bestow. These crutches I bequeath to my son that shall tread in my steps. I bestow them with 100 warm wishes that he may prove better than I have done.
Now, in a few days, when he came to the brink of the river, he said,
Now shall I have no more need of these crutches, since yonder there are chariots and horses for me to ride on. Valiant, wilt thou give them to my son?
I shall give them.
So he entered the river, and the last words they heard him say were,
Welcome, life. Welcome. Welcome.
So he went his way.
Enter.
Mr. Feeble Mind?
Aye.
I am come to tell thee that thy master has need of thee, and that in a very little time thou must behold his face in brightness. And this is a token from him. Those that look out at the window shall be darkened. Farewell.
Then Mr. Feeble Mind called for his friends.
Dear friends, I have been called over the river.
Art thou sure, dear Mr. Feeble Mind?
Aye, for his token he told me that those that look out of the window shall be darkened. And 'tis true, I'm now going blind.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
There's no need for that.
since it is a token of my soon crossing. Mr. Valiant?
Sir?
Sir, I would make out a will, except I have nothing to leave behind. As for my feeble mind, it is not worth bestowing upon the poorest pilgrim. But do me this favor, please.
Which?
When I am gone, take this feeble, decayed mind of mine and bury it in a dunghill.
If that is thy wish.
It is.
This done, and the day being come on which he was to depart, he entered the river as the rest had done. His last words were,
"Hold out, faith and patience."
So he went over to the other side. When days had many of them passed away, Mr. Despondency was called upon by the post.
"Dost thou call me, sir?"
"Aye, there is this message sent to thee. Trembling man, thou art summoned to meet thy king on the last day of the week. Then shalt thou rest from all thy labors, as he doth do. And when thou art come thither, thou shalt shout for joy at thy deliverance from all thy doubtings. And as a proof that my message is true, take this grasshopper."
"What shall I do with him?"
"Carry him. When he becometh a burden unto thee, thou shalt know that thy time is at hand."
Now much afraid, his daughter, hearing that he was to depart, said that she wished to depart with him. Then Mr. Despondency said to his friends,
"Dear ones, you know what a trouble my daughter and I have been. What with all our fears and doubtings, our will is that our despondency and slavish fears be received by no man forever. When we first became pilgrims, we entertained these ghosts of doubt and fear, and could never be free of them after that. Wherefore, warn pilgrims of all time to shut the doors upon these evil ghosts and entertain them not. No, not even for a moment."
"Aye, had we dismissed them when they first tempted us, who knows but that we had been great heroes of faith as some of you are. But we were foolish and we will never be what we could have been. But our Lord is merciful and does the best he can with what we give him. Amen."
So when the time was come, they went to the brink of the river, and his last words were,
"Farewell, knight. Welcome day."
As for his daughter, much afraid, went through the river singing, but no one understood exactly what she said.
"Mr. Honest?"
"Aye."
"Thou art commanded to be ready within 7 nights to present thyself before thy lord at his father's house. And for a token that my message is true, this shall come upon thee. All the daughters of music shall be brought low."
Then Mr. Honest called for his friends and said unto them,
"I am called."
"Art thou sure?"
"What?"
"Art thou sure?"
"Pure? Well, I hope I am."
"No, no. I asked if thou art sure."
"Oh, am I sure? Aye. His token was that all thy daughters of music shall be brought low, and indeed, I think that my hearing doth already begin to fade. Now, though I die, yet I shall make no will, as I have naught to bestow except for my honesty, which must needs go over with me."
Now, on his appointed day, the river was so high as to be nearly rushing over its banks. But Mr. Honest, in his lifetime, had agreed with one Mr. Goodconscience to meet him at the edge of the river and help him over. This he did, and the passage was easy in spite of the deepness of the river. The last words of Mr. Honest were,
"Grace reigns."
So Mr. Honest left the world. Now when Mr. Valiant for Truth was given his summons, the token of its truth were these words,
"Thy pitcher shall be broken at the fountain."
So he called his friends and said,
"I am called to my father's house.
The postman hath said that my pitcher shall be broken at the fountain, and indeed my strength is spilled on the ground. Look, as you can see, I can scarce hold up my sword. I have gotten to this place with much hardship and suffering, yet I regret not one battle fought, nor am I sorry for one wound received. Oh, these scars are my witness to the king that I have fought the good fight on behalf of his name and cause. My sword I give to him who shall be willing to follow after me in defense of truth. My courage I leave to him that will take God at his word and move forward against apparent impossibilities. My skill I impart to the man or boy who will work for it on his knees. My scars, as I said, I take my scars with me as medals of honor. As I have said in private, so now I say to all. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Rather, the crown is bestowed upon the one who hath gotten the victory over himself. Therefore, be strong. Quit thyself like men and fight thy battles for the glory of thy Lord. Amen.
When the day that he must go hence was come, many accompanied him to the riverside. As he went into the waters, he said,
Death, where is thy sting?
And as he went down deeper,
Grave, where is thy victory?
So he passed over, and on the other side all the trumpets sounded for him. Then there came forth a summons for Mr. Standfast.
Thou must prepare for a change of life, for thy master is not willing to be so far from thee any longer.
At this, Mr. Standfast was put into a doubt.
Nay, you need not doubt the truth of my message, for hear the token of the truth thereof. Thy wheel shall be broken at the cistern.
Then he called to him Mr. Greatheart.
Sir, although it was not my hap to be much in your good company, yet since the time I knew you, you have been profitable to me. When I came from home, I left behind me a wife and 5 small children. When you return to bring more pilgrims, go to them, I pray. Tell them what has befallen me in the way and what I shall be enjoying in the place whither I go. Wilt thou so do?
I shall tell them.
And do thou give her this ring. Tell my beloved about Christiana, its former owner. Remain behind, the same as she. Tell my wife of her victory over the last of foes and of the joy of her children and grandchildren who follow in her footsteps. Wilt thou so do?
I shall do it.
I have nothing more to bestow upon them, except this.
What is this little bottle?
These are the tears I have shed in prayer. My God hath put them in a bottle and granted that I might send them to her as a token of my love. Tell her that I wait for her and that she must come quickly to me. For I tell thee truly, Greatheart, all the joys of heaven shall be less for me and her Lord if she and my little ones are not there.
When Mr. Standfast had thus set things in order and the time being come for him to haste him away, he also went down to the river. Now the river was calm at that time, wherefore when he was about halfway in, it was safe for him to stand a while and talk to his companions.
This river has been a terror to many, yea, even to myself. But let me tell you this one thing, that as soon as my feet touch the waters, it seemed to me as if they parted and that I go over on dry ground. And looking over, I can see what thou canst not. I see myself resting from all my labors. I see that head which was crowned with my thorns, and that face which was spit upon for me. Hitherto I have lived by the testimony of those who have gone before, but now I live by sight. Before this, He was at my side by faith. But now, I can see him with my eyes and touch him with my hands. On my journey, I have looked for the print of his feet that I might walk myself therein. His name has been to me sweeter than all perfumes, and his voice hath comforted me in my trials. His face I have turned toward as the flower to the sun, and his word has been my food and drink and medicine. Yea, by it hath he changed me from a bull-headed drunkard into what I am this day, a man named Standfast, who be on his way home. From the moment I first gave myself to him, he has held me fast to his heart and kept me from mine iniquities. Yea, my steps hath he strengthened in the way. Now, Lord, take me, for I come unto thee.
Now, as he was thus bearing his testimony, the token of the postman was fulfilled. His wheel was broken at the cistern, and he was seen no more of them. And now, as I promised, I shall give thee a better account of Christiana's entrance into the celestial city. When she came out of the river, the heavenly host gave a great shout, saying, Blessed is she which is called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There came out also at this time to welcome her several of the king's trumpeters, clothed in white and shining raiment, who, with melodious noises and loud, made even the heavens to echo with their sound. And now did Christiana feel herself to be in heaven, even before she came to it. Here she had the city itself in view, and thought she could hear all the bells therein to ring out her welcome. But above all, the warm and joyful thoughts that she had about meeting her Lord and Savior and dwelling with him forever and ever, oh, by what tongue or pen can her glorious joy be expressed? And thus she came up to the gate. Now there was written over it in letters of gold, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Then some from above looked over the gate, to wit, Enoch, Moses, and Elijah, to whom it was said,
Hello!
Greetings in the name of the King. What bring ye?
A pilgrim come from the city of destruction, for the love that she bears to the king of this place.
Did she enter in at the wicket gate?
Yea.
Has she her certificate?
Yea.
Give them in at the door.
So the pilgrim gave in her certificate and the letter which she had received in the beginning. Those therefore were carried into the king, who, when he had read them, said,
Where is she that hath left all for my sake?
She standeth without the gate.
And where is my friend Christian?
He waiteth for her just inside the gate.
He hath waited too long. I shall open the gates myself.
Now I saw in my dream that the Lord himself did open the gate. And lo, as she entered, she was transfigured. Yea, her old mortal body was changed to be like unto his glorious body. She had raiment put on that shone like gold, and Jesus himself did place a crown on her head. Christiana then cast the crown at Jesus' feet and bowed before him. Then did he raise her up, take her by the hand, and lead her to her husband.
Christiana?
Is that you, my husband?
Aye, 'tis I.
And is this indeed heaven?
Yes, Christiana, heaven.
Then 'tis really true.
Yes, Christiana, true, all true.
Oh, husband, husband, bless him.
Yea, blessing and glory.
And wisdom and thanksgiving.
And honor.
And power.
And might.
Be unto our God forever and ever. Ever.
Amen.
Oh, husband, the beauty of the place. And I am here forever.
Yes, Christiana, forever and ever. Oh, joy, joy, joy. Oh.
And oh, the joy of him who now beheld the wife of his youth standing before him in perfect health. They were to gather again, best of friends, to give praises to their Maker and their King throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Now I saw in my dream Christian and his wife walking in the heavenly country. There the heavenly shepherd did lead the flock to fountains of living waters. The tree of life yielded its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the service of the nations. There I saw ever-flowing streams, clear as crystal, and beside them waving trees cast their shadows upon the paths prepared for the ransomed of the Lord. There the wide-spreading plains swell into hills of beauty, and the mountains of God rear their lofty summits. On those peaceful plains, beside those living streams, God's friends, so long pilgrims and wanderers have found a home. As for Christian's children, I heard one say that they were yet alive, and so would be for the increase of the church in that place where they were to stay for a time. As for Greatheart, after he had met in council with his Lord, he was sent back to the town of Stupidity, if perchance he might persuade Standfast's wife, Mariana, to follow him on pilgrimage. But that is a tale for another time. Should it be my lot to meet thee again, I may give thee, if thou desire it, an account of those things about which now I am silent. Meanwhile, I shall bid thee, dear listeners, a fond adieu, and hope to meet thee in the kingdom.